Well, it's good to be together as the body of Christ, and you know that I don't take that for granted. We canceled on Wednesday. The weather was pretty nasty. It got worse before it got better. We had, you know, the rain, and then it turned into freezing rain, and then it turned into ice, and then it turned into snow on top of that, with about 8 or 10 inches or however much we got here. So I'm glad to be back today. Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of pray, and then we'll get into what God has given me to share with you. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. You are wonderful. You're worthy. And we invite you to move and to guide and to direct all that we do in this place. Holy Spirit, teach. Holy Spirit, lead. Holy Spirit, have your way. Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, we honor you. We worship you and Father. Oh, the one who was, is, and always shall be. Oh, our God, our God, our God. Have your way. Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn to Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33 and verse 6. Psalm 33 and verse 6. And it says here, the Lord merely spoke. I've got that, I should have it in the New Living Translation there. Did you pull up the list of, okay, maybe I just put it in there wrong. It says, the Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. This is the one with whom we have to do. This is the one who created all things. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 12. Isaiah 45 and verse 12. It says here, I am the one who made the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands, now remember, this is God talking. I am the one who created the earth and created people to live on it. With my hands, I stretched out the heavens. All the stars are at my command. And then in that same chapter, verse 18, Isaiah 45, 18, it says, for the Lord is God. For the Lord is God. And He created the heavens and earth and put everything in place. He made the world to be lived in, not to be a place of empty chaos. I, the Lord, He says, I am the Lord, He says, and there is no other. I am the Lord, He says, and there is no other. This is the one with whom we have to do. This is the creator and the maker of all things. You need to understand who God is. The Bible never goes about to establish God's existence. It just is in there that He exists. And He does. God is the one who created all things. Some of this language that is in Isaiah 45 is very interesting. It's actually scientific language. He says, I stretched out the heavens. In the King James, it says it that way. And that means from point A, He moved and He stretched them out. And when you understand what that means, the further out you go, you have time and space. That is scientific language. And it's very interesting what God has done. He's put so much in there. But this is the one with whom we have to do. And another thing about Him is He knows everything. He knows everything that there is to know. This is the God who has all knowledge, who has all wisdom. In 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, even if we feel guilt, God is greater than our feelings and He knows everything. So when we're dealing with God, we're dealing with the one who has all power. He created everything. Matter of fact, there's a verse that says He holds all things together by the word of His power. He created it all. He holds it all together by the word of His power. And he is the one who knows everything. This is the one that we are dealing with, the creator and the maker of all things. Now, you need to understand he's also good. He's very, very good. And I want you to understand about him, God has a purpose for you and for me. God has a purpose for you and for me. You are not, I repeat, you are not an accident. God knows you far, far better than you know yourself. You were created by him, and you were created for him. That is, to be with him, to enjoy him, and to be enjoyed by him. God created you and wants to be with you. There's a verse in the Old Testament, and it talks about how much God enjoys your presence. And it says that he spins around in circles over you. Like a small child would jump up and spin around in circles. That's how much God enjoys being with you. He loves you. You are not an accident. And he wants you to be with him. You have certain talents, you have certain abilities that God himself put into you. Some of those, you don't even know are there yet. He made you with abilities and talents. I said some, he made you specifically. He put every talent, every gifting, every ability that you have into you. And people will sometimes say, well, I am responsible for this. You developed what he put into you, but he put it into you. It is up to us to develop what he's put into us. Anybody ever heard of a short little guy by the name of Michael Jordan? If you haven't heard of Michael Jordan, you've been living under a rock. Or how about LeBron James? You know, these are two of the greatest basketball players of all time. And they have talent that is out of this world. I mean, just unbelievable talent. But neither one of them made it to where they got to at the apex of their careers without hard work. They were given ability, but they worked on it. And God has put things into you, and he has things in you, but it's up to us to develop those things. But he's put them in there. It's not an accident, the abilities, the talents, the giftings that you have. And the amazing thing about this, now remember, the last verse that I read you, it says, he knows everything. God knows everything, which means he knows everything that there is to know about you, and about you, and about you, and about me. He knows everything that there is to know about us. He created us. He knows what's in us more than we know what's in us. When I was a kid, I loved sports, and I still do. And, you know, I went into high school, and I remember my freshman year in English class, Mr. Daly was my teacher. And they asked a question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my answer was, I want to be 6'7" and a pro basketball player. Well, I didn't quite make 6'7". Neither did I make the pro basketball thing. I loved basketball, and I still do. And I love football, you know, I love sports, period. And I had leanings in that direction, but I did not have the giftings. Another guy that I'll mention, his name was Spud Webb. Spud Webb was 5'7" or 5'8", played in the NBA for years. He is also a slam dunk contest in the NBA, a slam dunk contest winner at 5'8", 5'7", 5'8", which is just amazing. He had abilities that I didn't have. I did not have that kind of ability. He was gifted, but he worked on it. But the thing of it is, when I began to learn what God had for me, and I began to develop what God had for me, I didn't try and take what he had for somebody else, but I began to develop what he had for me. I began to find out that there were things in me that I didn't even know were in there, but he did. He made me, he designed me, he created me for purpose. And he did the same thing with you. He created you with purpose. There's a phrase that I use, and the people around here have heard this multiple times. And the people at our last church heard this multiple times. But I like this phrase. And you'll hear it again and again and again. Square peg, square hole. Round peg, round hole. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Anybody ever seen those kids' games? You know, and it may be a cube, it may be a kind of a ball type thing. And, you know, there's a star-shaped hole, and then there's a triangle hole, and there's a square hole, and there's a round hole. You fit the round peg into the round hole. You fit the square peg into the square hole. God made you. He knows what shape you are. He knows what you need to be doing because He put things into you. He gave you giftings and abilities. And some of those you think, well, how could God use that? He will put you into places where He can touch humanity through you. You say, well, I'm not gifted to speak like this person or that person. I'm not called into the ministry. Well, that's not all the callings. I have a very good friend. He is an electrical engineer, and that is a call on his life. He's exactly where God wants him to be. Square peg, square hole. He's a square peg fitting into a square hole. I'm a round peg fitting into a round hole. I'm exactly where God wanted me to be. And we need to begin to develop where He has created us. But God created you with purpose. God created me with purpose. God created every human being with purpose. Whether we ever choose to even receive Jesus as Lord or not, there is a purpose for every human being. God has a plan for every human being. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And this is one of those verses that you see on t-shirts, you see it on bumper stickers, you see it all over the place, on coffee cups and all these things. And it says here, and I'm going to read this out of another translation. I put this stuff into the computer and I put it in the wrong translations. So a bunch of this is my fault. Linda didn't do this. I did. But I've got it in the NIV. And it says it this way, "For I know the plans I have for you." It's very similar to what's up there, so don't worry about putting it into something else. Says the Lord, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." This is God's plan for you. It's always good. And the thing of it is, when you are a square peg trying to fit into a round hole, it don't work. You know what? You can make it fit, but it doesn't fit right. Some of those, you know, with the little kids, I've watched our grandchildren do this. And, you know, they'll try and fit this in there. You turn it sideways, you twist it, and you can jam that baby in there. You can make it go in, but it doesn't go in like it's supposed to. And we sometimes do that same thing. We try and fit into a place that God didn't create us to be. And the reason we do that is it seems like that's what I want. But you were created with destiny and with purpose. God created you with purpose, and the plan that He has for you is one where He will prosper you, where He will not harm you, but He has plans to give you hope and a future, and it is a good thing. And then I want to go into Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read this out of the New King James. I didn't put it in this way. I know I didn't. I know it wasn't me that did it, even though I'm the one who put all this in there. It wasn't me. It's somebody else. Anyway, New King James says it this way, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship." Another translation says it this way, "We are His masterpiece." What God created you to be, you were not created as an accident. And God created you as His masterpiece. His masterpiece may not be doing what you thought you would do. It may not be being where you thought you would be. But when you're where He wants you to be, you are His masterpiece. You are an amazing work of God. You are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Get this, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, when God created you, He created you with purpose. He has already stretched out a plan before you, steps for you to take. And so many of us don't even ask God, what would you have me to do? And His steps are amazing. You were created to fit into a certain place and to do certain things. And when you step into what He created you to be and do what He created you to do, there is no greater satisfaction than that. It's amazing. God created us and He laid out the steps for us before we were even born. He had the plan in place. He had it prepared beforehand. God prepared it, and the King James says ordained, and I always quote it, He has ordained and prepared, because that's what it means. He has laid this out before us so that we can walk that pathway. Now, in 2 Timothy 4, in verses 7 and 8, 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And then in verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. This talks about God's plan for you. And when it came to Paul, his plan was to be a preacher. Not everybody's called to be a preacher. Thank God for that. You know, if we were all called to do what I do, when I say a preacher, I mean that's your vocation, that's your calling. And we were not all called to do that, but we were all called to share the love of God. And as we share the love of God, when God creates you with purpose, He sets you on a certain pathway. That pathway will be different than my pathway. That pathway will be different than my pathway, but it will give you the opportunity to touch people that I won't. And in the midst of that pathway, you're going to have greater satisfaction and contentment than you will anywhere else, because God created you for that place. God created you for that place. And it is quite amazing. And we need to discover what that is. How do you do that? You ask God. God, what is it that You made me to be? What is it that You made me to do? Now, He will, because He has put giftings in you, I'll be honest with you, most people are in the right arena. Most people are. Because their giftings, their talents, their abilities kind of put them in the right area. And you know, let me just bring this up. When it comes to politicians, ooh, that's a dirty word. No, it's not. Politician just has, it just means that they are in a position of leadership. That's all it really is. And leading. And most politicians are in the right arena. They're there because of gifting. They may not be in the exact position that God has for them, but they're in the right arena. There are people in the ministry that are called to be a pastor, or they're called to be an evangelist, or they're called to be a prophet, or they're called to be an apostle, whatever it is, or a teacher. And you may have somebody that's called to be a teacher, and they want to be a prophet, so they're trying to step into the role of prophet. It doesn't work. They don't have the giftings and the abilities to do that, and then God's hand is not on them to do that. They're in the right arena, they're just in the wrong position. Most people get into kind of the right arena. Nothing wrong with letting your giftings kind of help you discover where God wants you to be. But your giftings alone are not enough, because you need to know what God has for you specifically. So you ask Him. So God has a purpose for you. And God's design for you is the same as it is for me in many things. Now, my position is different than yours. But his design for life is the same for me as it is for you. His design for you and his design for me is the same. He has created us in such a way where he wants us to live a certain way, and that is by faith. We were created to walk by faith. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's the way God created all of humanity to live. Now, this blows people away because most of them say, yeah, I got born again. I used my faith. And then everything from that point on is about them living by their ability. But that's not what this says. For we walk by faith. That's talking about the whole round of the activities of your life. We're to live by faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to experience this life and dominate in this life by faith. That's what God wants us to do. And so that's the way that he created us. Now, I'll come back to this here in a little bit. We're going to go through a few scriptures and then we'll come back to this. But the thing of it is, if you will do it God's way, you are an unstoppable force. You are an absolutely unstoppable force for God. The enemy, the devil, the one who would try and take you out, he can't. You say, well, I've seen him take other people out. You don't know where they were at with him, with God. I'm telling you, you walk by faith, you are an unstoppable force for God. You will do things that are impossible because faith does the impossible. So let me go through a couple more verses here. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Says here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the gospel. For it is the power, that is the word dunamis. Now if you don't know what that means, it's the word that we get dynamite from. It's the Greek word that they took and actually created the word dynamite out of. It is the absolute power of God. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then in verse 17, for in it, in what? In the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So what he says here is when you are made right with God, you're not to live like everybody else. Well, what do you mean? I'm telling you, no matter what the economy is, God said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is his word. And I can stand on that. I can claim that. I can receive every bit of provision that I need. Even if everybody around me is going down, I will go over. He has said, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I don't care if sickness and disease are sweeping the nation. I have healing, I have health, and I have wholeness available. And I claim that, I receive that, and I walk in that. Do I miss it? Yeah, sometimes. But I'm telling you what, God has victory on victory on victory on victory on victory on victory on victory for us. But it is by faith. It's not just knowing what God said, it is accessing the power of what he said by faith. And when I access the power of what he said by faith, it means that the impossible is no longer impossible. That the possible with God is where I'm standing. So, when we walk by faith, it is very different than the world's way. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, what's that mean? That means that you've been made right with God. You've actually been made righteous with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 2, it goes on and says, through whom? Through Jesus. Also, we have access by faith into this grace where in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, this verse actually says that grace is accessed by the faith that you have. That's what that says. What does that mean? Grace is actually God's provision for you. It is His empowerment for you. It is the package that you get at redemption. And He says that by faith, you unlock it and you receive what is yours, but it takes faith to do it. A lot of people can quote a lot of scripture, but they're not walking in it because they've got mental understanding, but they don't have it in their heart. And therefore, they're not confessing it out of their heart, and they're not accessing their provision. They got it in their head, but they don't have it in their heart. And we access by our heart or our spirit, and that's faith. So, by faith, we are to live. So, how do we get faith? How do we get faith? Well, we get faith from the Word of God. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. So, when we get a hold of God's Word, that is where we get faith. Now, this is real interesting, and we could go into this and teach on this for a long time. But he says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word that is translated Word is the Greek word rhema, R-H-E-M-A. And what that means is the spoken Word. So what he says is, when God speaks it to your heart, boom, you got it. Okay? The spoken Word of Christ, the Anointed One and His anointing. And I would put it this way, the anointed Word of the Anointed One. When you get a hold of the anointed Word of the Anointed One, that is faith. Now, He will speak it to your heart just as much as He does, you know, directly from the Holy Spirit, as much as He does the written Word. And God may say to you, this is my desire for you. This is my design for you. This is my plan for you. This is my destiny for you. Boom! He speaks that to your heart. That is the anointed spoken Word of the Anointed One. And you can exercise faith and walk that out. But even though you got it, bam, God spoke it to you, doesn't mean it's going to come to pass. You got to grab hold of that by faith and walk it out. Hearing it is the beginning. So faith comes by hearing the anointed Word of the Anointed One. Now, the scripture here is also anointed. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God. And it is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And I've taught on this before. Let me read you another translation. We don't have this in the computer. But there's another translation that puts it this way. All scripture is God-breathed in its inspired voice. And I like that. In its inspired voice. And then it goes on and it says, we hear useful teaching and rebuke and, you know, the rest of it. But it is God's inspired voice that we need to get a hold of. And so when we get into the scriptures, we let God speak to us. He brings us revelation so that we can grab a hold of what He's provided us with. God has provided us with far more than what we're walking in. God has a higher plan, a greater plan, a much better plan than what we're walking in. And I don't care, you can be the richest person in the world and not be walking in the plan of God. But I'm telling you, God has good things in store for you and me. He has good things in store for you and for me. And we must choose to believe what God has to say. I have a lot of scriptures here that I could go into, and I tend to overdo it because I would love to go into this, but it takes more time for me to teach, and I would have to teach in this. So I'm going to skip a couple of verses here. And Linda, just go down to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. I think it's probably three verses down from where we're at. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And we were here earlier, for we walk by faith and not by sight. This is how God intends for you and for me to walk. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And then again in Romans 1, 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes. Now, when he says for salvation, that can be translated as salvation, to be saved. It can be translated as healing. It can be translated as deliverance. It really means the Word of God has within it the power for whatever you need. That's what it says. The Word of God has power within it for whatever you need. And when God reveals that to you, you draw out that power by your faith. So that's how God intended for us to live, is by faith. Now, when it comes to eternal life, this is the inception point into what God has for us. Eternal life. He has this for you. And I'm going to go into this really quickly, and then I'm going to wrap it up. I've got maybe four little sections of Scripture left. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. And it says here, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul adds, of whom I am the worst. But I want you to see, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The way that we receive what God has for us is by faith. You hear it. Jesus came to die in your place. Jesus came to take your sins upon Him. In Isaiah 53, it says that He shall see the travail of His soul, be satisfied, and by His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. So He will bear our iniquities. He already did. And it's up to us to simply believe what He said. I guess I actually had that verse in my notes. I didn't realize I had it in there in a little different translation. And then in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I have given you three or four verses there, and that's enough for you to get born again. That's enough for you to get born again. Because by faith, you access what Jesus has provided you with. When it comes to eternal life, sin destroys, sin separates, sin will actually send us to hell because we have rejected the Holy One, the one who paid the price for us. He already paid the price for us. It says He is the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not ours only, but for the whole world. So He's already paid the price. It's up to you whether you receive that or not. So the gift is for you. The gift is for you. And then I want to go and I just want to read two more verses and I will close. But it's in Rome, or rather in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 4. And it says here, in that day, you will not question me about anything. In what day? Well, if you back up and you look for the context, he's talking about the day in which he departs and goes back to heaven. So he's saying, from that point forward, this will apply to you. In that day. Well, we live in that day because he's already died. He's already gone to heaven. So he says, in that day, you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. And then go into verse 24. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive so that your joy may be full. Now, it sounds like a Santa Claus mentality. I can ask God for anything, and he has to give it to me. Well, the little word that's translated ask in the Greek, it means this: to put a demand on what is legally and rightfully yours. So what does that mean? It means what Jesus provided you with, you have every right to ask for. We're talking about faith here. But it's your responsibility to do so. So we put a demand on His provision. What we do is we, by faith, access what He has provided and we draw it into the realm of the seen from the realm of the unseen. Faith is God's design. It cannot be stopped by your enemy. It is not based upon your sensory input or your emotional input. And it is what has been provided for you in Christ Jesus. So we need not worry about whether or not it will get done, because, get this, it has already been done. All we do is draw on His provision. If He hasn't provided it for me, I can't draw on it by faith. But if He has, I can. And how do we discover what He has provided for us by faith? We get into His written word, and we allow the Holy Spirit to bring us revelation. But the first thing is eternal life. I'm going to ask every head bowed, every eye closed, those online, just be sensitive here. And if you would say, I've never received Jesus as my Lord, I just want you to raise your hand. I don't care if you're online, I encourage you to do it there as well. If you'd say, I've never been forgiven of my sins, I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord, and you want to do that, just raise your hand, and in a moment of time, we can take care of that. And, you know, if you're sitting there at home or wherever you are watching this, in a moment of time, this can be taken care of. So I'm going to ask everybody in the room here and those of you online to repeat this prayer after me. And I will tell you this, if you do this from your heart, in the instant that you do, you'll be born again, made right with God, and made the righteousness of God. So just repeat this prayer after me. Father God, I come to You now, and I confess I'm a sinner. I confess Jesus came from heaven to earth and died.